My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 2. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Remember, you can get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com. And if you go over to the website, and let me pop that up on the screen for us here. There we go. So if you head over to the website, at the very top of the site, you'll see Show Archives. If you click on that, and then click on this right here, video and audio links for new shows. And if you click on that, it's going to take you over to here. And now you've got a link directly to the Rumble page, which is Chosen Generation Radio Show on Rumble. And we open that up. And then when you go there, you'll see, like, for example, there's yesterday. Substance and principles matter in electing a representative. That was our interview with Kennard Childress. Don't be deceived by lies and disinformation. We talked with Melanie Collette on that. This is the battle for our Constitution with David Shostokas. The Hamas brutality. We talked about that with Claire Lopez and how it's right here in America. And Rick Manning. Miriam Heinen, I reposted this, but she exposed the George Floyd story. Establishing a spiritual canopy of protection around your property. Richard Vegg's interview. Strong families. And so on and so on. This one here with Carolyn Kane, by the way, if you're not aware of this, there is a real estate bubble that appears to be on the horizon, and we need to pay attention. And here is our outreach meeting that we had, and if you click on it, then it'll take you directly over to that particular
hello
event. And there you go. All right. Hey,
sorry let me about welcome. That. I don't know why I didn't get the email with all the information, but thanks for sending that my way.
No worries, Brandon. Good to have you on board. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Let me just let AJ know that I'm in.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
no, you know what? It's all good. But when I got your message last night that you had it, normally what I would do is, because I was about a minute late jumping in myself. And so normally what I would do is send the link with that and say, hey, I'm in. And then just add it just, you know, because I know right. that we all get busy. We get bombarded. My God, all right. So. On one of, let me just, I mean, you know, right, confession time. But on one of my emails, I have 211,000 unread emails.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
my kids make fun of me all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and I have people say, well, you know, if you did 20 a day, dude, if I did 20 a day, I mean, just stop and think about the reality of that. That's 6,000 in a year. Okay. And I've got 211,000 in about, and I'm 61. I would be doing this till I'm 85. And then I would be behind another 211,000 for the ones that came in while I was busy screwing around with the 200 that I haven't seen yet. Yep. I mean, yeah, forget about it. You know, no, so I completely get, and that's why I usually do that. And I just, in my head, I thought, oh, well, he sent me a message. He's got it. He's all set. He probably went in there and went, well, where is this guy? He didn't show up. What's the deal?
I realized because sometimes when AJ sets them up, sometimes his people don't send the Zoom link. And I saw it when I went to go log on. I was like, right. Oh, God, he forgot. So I had to, you know, quickly scramble.
No. It's all good. It's all good. Well, and I love AJ because one of the things they've been doing lately, which is wonderful, is including the guests' email.
Yes. So that's very helpful.
That way I can just, you know, I can include you in the email that I'm sending. So good stuff. All right. We're just shop talking, folks, but it's all good. Hey, it's good. You know, and I realize you've been with me before and I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah. We talked about Biohacked, I think, back in June or May.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so now we're going to talk about Iran and let's see, we've got Robert Shelley, right? Is that? Or Malley, Robert Malley. Bob Malley, Arian Tabatabai. Mm-hmm. That boy, I'll tell you, that one took a minute to work on that last name, right? And then Mahir Bitar.
Yeah.
Which and
those
I
those are the ones we know about.
Well, I was just, and I would, but I, you know what else? But we know about it, mm-hmm. but mainstream media is still not covering that end of the story at all. Yeah. And I just actually got a message from a friend of mine. There's a cybersecurity company that did a DDoS, and they have found at the time of the Hamas attack, there was a specific cyber attack to take down Israel's communications. And my friend David Wormser was there in Tel Aviv when this happened. And and so we did a 2.5 hour interview on the day of the attack. And one of the things he said was, is that for like the first 6 hours, parts of Israel had no idea that they'd been invaded until the terrorists kicked their doors down because the communication system was gone, dead.
No, there's definitely a wider, and this is why Iran is behind all of this. This was definitely a wider strike. Another aspect you might not be aware of, the New York Post was reporting on it in 2021, and then the story disappeared. One of Biden's Secret Service agents that was in charge of his protective detail turned out to have been an Iranian mole. And the Iranians had flipped him because they got they ensnared him in a honeypot operation. And then they were paying off Secret Service agents with lots of money and sex that were on Biden's protective detail to feed them every week massive tranches of intelligence on Biden and the family, because they were trying to determine if Biden was going to do the deal with Iran that he's been working on since the Obama years. And so the Iranians have penetrated every layer of our government the way that most of our enemies have.
Well, and you know, we say penetrated, and I get that, but to a degree, Obama began this. Clinton started it with China. Richard Nixon opened the door to China for the purpose of really ultimately freeing the Chinese people. I mean, that was Nixon's mode of operatus.
Right.
He knew that he was dealing with an enemy, and he treated the government as that. Cordially, but as that.
Right.
But he knew that without opening the door and getting our people in there, there was no way to help the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. Clinton turned the Lincoln Room into a hotel room for the CCP, and they gave China everything.
Carter did too, though. Don't forget. That's don't leave true. Out Carter.
That's right. true. Yeah.
Yep.
So that being the case, I guess, you know, the question then is, how do we, the people, respond to this, Brandon? How are we going to, because ultimately this war is here.
Right.
It's only a matter of time before somebody pushes the button and it starts.
The only solution for the people is the election in 16 months or 15 months. We have to overturn the Biden administration. We have to put in the right person, whether it's Trump or DeSantis or whoever on the right. We have to put in the right person. And right now we have the very wrong person and all the wrong people around that wrong person leading us. And so that's the only way we can change really the direction of the country is the electoral cycle every 4 years. You know, on a policy level, we've got to put the person in who understands the Middle East the best. In my opinion, you've got two strong candidates, Trump and DeSantis. Both of those men, I think, understand the Middle East, and Trump has a record of it. DeSantis has certainly made his stances clear. So I think either of those two candidates would be great for the country if we're worried about the threat of a world war. And so when we should be, because, you know, I wrote my book, finished writing it in June of 2021. It went through a lot of edits and things had to be cut out, and I'm not going to get into what was going on, but you know, there was a delay in its release. It was finally released over this last summer in July. But I literally, the first five chapters of The Shadow War are predicting the Third Intifada. And so I know that Iran was behind this attack. Furthermore, I am fully convinced that Hezbollah is going to open up a second front. And anybody who says otherwise does not understand what's going on here.
Yeah, and well, and my understanding is that much of that has already, you know, has already started. And then you've also got the issue with Syria and right. and the collapsing northern Jordan.
Right. And then you also have the problem of Iran bringing in China and Russia as well, which is certainly what's going on.
It really is an epic situation brought about by, you know, and one of the things I've been harping on is, you know, when you send men in dresses, you know, to these, you know, conferences that are talking about, you know, be strong and national right. security and what right. have you. And I'm not talking about, you know, our Scottish friends in their kilts. I'm talking about literally men wearing dresses, for God's sakes, that are pretending that they're women wearing lipstick and crap. I mean, the world does not take that seriously. They laugh.
They don't take us seriously at all. They haven't taken us seriously since January 2021. When Joe Biden was sworn in. You know, I found an article and I posted it on my Twitter a few days ago, a Time Magazine op-ed that was supposedly written by Joe Biden on his last week in the White House as vice president in 2017. And the article was all about how Trump being sworn in is going to signal the end of America's power and that America would basically start a third world war under Trump. Well, ironic, isn't it? Now, 6 or 7 years later, we have Joe Biden as president, and actually all of it's happening under Biden.
Right.
You know, Democrats are the masters of projection. I was just talking to a colleague of mine before I got on the air with you, who's on the Hill right now. And we were sort of laughing because he asked what I was up to. I said, I'm writing an article for The Pipeline, where I'm an energy analyst for them. And I said, they asked me to write an article on how the high interest rates were hurting the push for solar power in America. Basically, it's, you know, high interest rates resulting from high inflation rate, which is resulting from Biden's spending spree, is actually killing the Green New Deal, which is kind of funny to me. But I told him, I said, you know, it's funny how the Inflation Reduction Act is actually doing the exact opposite, because so much of the spending that's causing the high inflation rates, necessitating the high interest rates, is coming from the Inflation Reduction Act. They're actually spending in the Inflation Reduction Act. So nothing our government is doing, especially under Biden, is either legitimate or honest. And so Biden tells us that Trump was going to start World War III. We had the most stable period of existence in the modern era, in the Middle East in particular, in my lifetime. I mean, my lifetime was defined by Mideast wars. I was working in government when all we talked about was Iraq and Afghanistan and the threat. And, right. You know, for the first time in 30 or 40 years, that wasn't an issue. And Trump leaves office under a cloud of controversy. Biden arises as supposedly the great savior, and everything immediately starts falling apart, both at home and abroad. They're masters of projection, these Democrats.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that President Trump did was he rebuilt our military so that the people around the world right. understood within a very short period, and it didn't take him that long, but he immediately began that process of reestablishing right. our military might. And right. once people understood that our military was no longer in the 1920s, but was actually brought up to the 2000s, everything that created the chill effect, if you will, around the world, because all of these upstarts said, nah, maybe not. Maybe right. I don't want to challenge. But now, like I said, we're a laughing stock around the world. They know that we've depleted our military back down to the levels that Obama left it in a shambles when he left office. Mm-hmm. And then we're pretty much an invaded country. I mean, we have submitted to an invasion without them even having to fire a shot.
Yep. Yeah, it's a nightmare scenario. And then we also have the threat of Iranian uranium being shipped around the world, which is a story I've been breaking since last November. And I am concerned that with their 5,000 or more Hezbollah and Hamas people who have broken illegally into our country, that they've created these illegal supply networks in which they're moving this uranium. And I'm worried they're going to be building a dirty bomb or dirty bombs in the United States to detonate once the Americans do start attacking Iranian targets in the Middle East in response to Hezbollah opening up a probable second front. We are possibly going to be seeing dirty bomb attacks in the Western world by Christmas, possibly. I mean, we have a very bad situation right now.
So let's talk a little bit about that for a minute, because one of the hypotheses that I've been talking with some people about is that, you know, part of the insulation we have had from really dramatic terrorist attacks, because there are terrorists everywhere in the United States. That's been going on. Obama opened the door, but the Clintons brought him in. I mean, we've had a problem with terrorism here in the U.S. for 30 years at least, okay? Yep. But that being said, they have also built a financial network here that funds a great deal of their terrorist enterprise around the world.
That goes back to the 1980s, by the way.
And no one reports on it and nobody talks about it, but it is a fact. It is a reality. Mm-hmm. That has insulated us to a degree, because why would you urinate in your own backyard? You wouldn't do that. This is a place where they can make money. Xi sees that, knows that, has his own terrorist problem. And BRICS, in part, was designed to pull the financial clout into China and invite the terrorist networks to start doing their deals in China so that they would stop terrorizing China, and that would open the United States up. Now, according to reports, there are nations that are supposed to join BRICS in January that could trigger the beginning of the decline of the petrodollar, and that would open us up then potentially for the terrorists to say, okay, well, America's no longer going to be a player in helping us or protecting us or being a I don't know, an incubator for our finance. I don't know. How would you describe it?
Well, I think that there's still some moves that we still have a while to go before the petrodollar is dead, but I do think that its last days are upon us. I don't, you know, that's a very scary scenario. One of the things that we could do to stop that from happening is get our own financial house in order, send a signal to the rest of the world that we're not just these, you know, dilettantes spending on everything that tickles our fancy politically. The rest of the world still prefers to do business. Even China still prefers to do business with the United States. That's the dirty little secret here, is that everything we're doing is so completely self-inflicted because of politics, we are going to wake up one day, 20, 30 years from now, and be wondering how the heck did we lose everything that we had built? And it's because of our political system. You know, we now finally have a speaker. I knew Mike Johnson back when I worked on the Hill. I like him. But as I was telling my friend that I was just talking to before I got on with you, you know, Johnson says all the right things. You know, even McCarthy back in the day said all the right things. But what's going to really determine whether this has all been worth it is if Johnson can actually get legislation passed cutting the federal budget, sending a signal to the rest of the world that America's not going to keep spending and devaluing the dollar, which is basically the world's reserve currency, and we're going to be more responsible. And that's this is where domestic policy and foreign policy meet.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is an area that not many people in D.C. understand. For about 60 years, 70 years now, D.C. has always siloed domestic policy from foreign policy. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a problem because, you know, we're making it easy for China to make the case that the Americans can't be depended on to be the world reserve currency anymore. And it's having a very positive, you know, effect for China, particularly in the developing world, because the developing world also doesn't like how we are devaluing the dollar. They're also concerned that it gives us too much power, which we will then abuse over petty issues.
Well, there's a scripture that talks about how it, you know, if you want to be in leadership as a person, right, if you ascribe for leadership, you need to have your house in order.
Right.
Okay. You know, God says you, I'm not going to put you in a position of authority. I'm not going to have you leading my house if you don't have your own house, if you're not keeping your own house in some kind of order. And you know, every time that America in its history has gotten itself kind of righted, and when we've made a lot of mistakes, we can go back into the mid 1800s and move forward from there about all the problems that we've created for ourselves. But when we have had a president that has sort of righted the ship, even temporarily to some degree, all of a sudden everything else begins to work itself out. Now, you mentioned energy and and your background and understanding with regards to energy. Right. How important is America's energy resources? I just had Joe Early on, who's running for Congress in West Virginia, who I think would be a great candidate. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can get West Virginia back on track with coal production. I mean, so many of those coal operations were shut down literally within 24 hours of Biden taking over as president. I mean, it's it's a horrific story that no one's covering again. No one covers, you know, but to that point, how important is energy in this conversation?
Well, it's key, especially as we're talking about the Middle East. Whether you're talking about coal production or just natural gas or oil production here in the United States, we have all the materials we need to be almost completely self-sufficient and to be a net exporter of these critical energy supplies. You know, we could be like Saudi Arabia, where Saudi Arabia, the people there don't pay hardly anything for their gas and their energy requirements. It's subsidized by the state. It's a production of the state. So the people there don't have to worry about, oh, the high cost of fuel. It's in the countries that are reliant on those supplies where the volatile swings of the energy market most negatively impact the people there. Unfortunately, we have a government and we currently have a president that fundamentally does not believe that America's domestic, the bounty of America's domestic energy should be exploited, and that we should be a net exporter, which is causing all kinds of insecurity both at home. And it also makes us more susceptible to the instability of those oil producing regions, such as in the Middle East.
So let me back you up for just one second, because you said a hot word, and maybe we need to rephrase how we say that, because you said he thinks that we're exploiting. I would argue that we're not.
We're not exploiting.
Right.
He
doesn't want to exploit. Right. Well, but he believes that if we were producing oil, if we were producing gas, if we were producing oil, that somehow is an exploitation.
Right.
And I think what we got to say is we've got to get the message out and educate people, say, no, it's not. Okay.
Right.
We have, I mean, they just discovered an oil reserve underground here in the United States that they believe is the largest pocket of oil in the world ever discovered. Okay.
Yep.
We have a huge amount of oil in the ground, a huge amount of natural gas in the ground, a huge amount of coal in the ground that we could We got 100 years. We got 200 years. I don't know. We got a lot. Okay.
I agree. And this is one of the biggest issues from a national security. Again, it's really until very recently, people didn't fully in DC want to understand the confluence of energy security and national security. This crisis in the Middle East would have no bearing on us if we were at the level of energy independence that we were under Trump. It would have very little, at least. The war in Russia, you know, sanctioning Russia's energy sources would have very little bearing on us if we would exploit and develop our natural strengths in the fossil fuel industry. Instead, the Biden administration wants to blow all of this money on renewable energy, notably wind and solar. But, you know, those technologies were never designed to replace fully the fossil fuels. They were always originally intended to augment what we had through fossil fuel. And it's a completely, you know, misleading belief that we could somehow create solar and wind power at a level that could replace fossil fuels. The areas where we could, you know, develop alternatives that were viable, things like geothermal, things like nuclear energy in particular, those are the things that they don't want to develop. And it just shows you that the green movement is not really interested in energy security or energy independence. They really just want to punish Americans for being dirty users.
Well, it's control. I agree with you. I mean, you've got those, eco-conscious warriors, so to speak. But, you know, I remember talking to Brandon Darby about, you know, how the left, you know, their strategy, right? There's the reds, the greens, and the yellows, or however you want to do it. But basically three different groups, you know, and the first group really is pretty much clueless. They're just kind of, you know, they have the idea and they're just kind of sent out there. And the guys in the back are like going, you can die. It's okay. Right. We don't care. And so that's your echo warriors, really, who are just kind of out there because they really think they're believing in something and they have just totally drank the Kool-Aid. Then you've got a second group that is like saying, okay, once those guys do their thing, we're going to be the ones that create, you know, the chaos. We're going to be the ones that are going to create the disruption. And then the final group that knows the whole plan, who sweeps in at the very end to pretty much take over.
Right. And that's exactly how these leftist revolutions work. And as it relates to Iran, you know, I heard Lindsey Graham talking to one of the Fox News people recently, in which he was advocating for bombing Iranian oil refineries as a response to a potential Hezbollah attack. Well, the problem with that is that even though we don't get oil from Iran and it's heavily sanctioned, Iran still sells their oil to the market. If you start blowing up those oil refineries as a first strike, you're going to spike the overall price of energy so high that it's going to come back on American people. This is why I said that if Hezbollah does open a second front, which I believe they will, given our dependence now on foreign oil, as insane as it is, and the fact that the current president will not push for the development of domestic energy sources, the thing we should be doing first is targeting with airstrikes logistical supply chains going from Iran through Iraq and Syria into Lebanon if Hezbollah does open a second front. Because if we start blowing up oil refineries, the problem is that it is going to, in the end, affect negatively ordinary Americans by spiking the price of their energy. And this is what happens when you have a government like ours that has exposed America to the ravages of the international energy market.
Well, and you know, unfortunately, we're sitting on the sideline. You know, I mean, this whole issue of the petrodollar would be immediately solved if we opened back up our pipelines.
Agreed.
If we started producing oil, kicked our refineries off, refired our smelting plants, and started producing coal and steel and oil and so right. on, and the things that, you know, actually build a country and build right. a nation.
What China's doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
just follow the China model.
Well, because it's, well, and let's be clear. China is following the American model.
That's right.
All China is doing is looking right. back and saying, this is what made America the greatest country right. in the world, and they're doing it. And while we've got people playing patty cake at the right. at the conference table, you know, and saying, "Oh, you know, we're going to put handcuffs on while you just run free."
Right. And so, you know, this brings us to the book in many respects, because yet again, if you look at, you know, World War I, Democrat Woodrow Wilson was in charge. World War II, Democrat FDR was in charge. Korea, Democrat Harry Truman was in charge. And Vietnam, Democrat LBJ was in charge. Those are four of some of the most bloodiest conflicts the country has ever fought. Now we have Biden, who fancies himself as a new LBJ, and you know, he has exposed us to really the ravages of the international community as it is. And I actually think that he's welcoming this fight in the Middle East as a way to distract voters from the horrible situation at home. He has moved so many forces into the Middle East, and he's, at the same time that he's saying he stands with Israel, he's turning around and giving Hamas $100 billion or some insane yeah. amount of money. He's yeah. funding the very people who started this.
Well,
conflict.
He gave $6 billion. You know, everybody says, "Oh, well, where's right. the $6 billion?" And right. and so their sleight of hand is the $6 billion is in Qatar. Except right. that, guess who lives in Qatar? Guess
the
who's
head of Hamas.
Exactly. Right. So yes. they don't need to send the money to that's Iran. Right. In fact, right. sending it to Qatar was ideal. Right. It's in Hamas. It's
safe, and there's no way we're getting that back. And, you know, this is where.
Well, I don't even know that it's all in the bank now, Brandon. I think that Hamas's leader has probably spent a portion of that already right. on the right. war and on the That's conflict. Right. That's right. I mean, look at some of the missiles they're firing. That's Israel right. has been somewhat surprised because
That's right.
they used to fire missiles that only went, you know, 40, 50 miles right. in, okay? They hit right. Tel Aviv. They're hitting Galilee from Gaza. Right.
Well, and in the book, so you remember in May of 2021, there was an 11-day conflict between Hamas and Israel. 2,200 rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. And the Israelis at that time, and I wrote about this in the book, the Israelis at that time were shocked by the increasing complexity of Hamas missiles. Now, what's going on to the north in Lebanon is the Precision Project, as the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps call it. And this is their joint program with Hezbollah to build long-range precision-guided munitions with which Hezbollah could use to strike deep into the heart of Israel from Lebanon and destroy key infrastructure node. In fact, Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, said that the Hezbollah plan right now is to launch precision-guided munitions at the ammonium nitrate containers in the port of Haifa, and to destroy those full containers to simulate have a simulated dirty bomb effect to knock out the port of Haifa indefinitely, which would be a huge economic blow. So as Hamas is fighting with increasingly sophisticated weaponry given to them by Iran, so too is Hezbollah.
Funded by the United States.
Funded by the United States as well as Europe. What Hezbollah is going to do soon is they're going to start lashing out with their tens of thousands of precision-guided munitions that they've been building since 2016. In fact, in the book, I talk about in Chapter 4, the Beirut blast. Now, everybody forgot about that. It was in the middle of COVID and in the middle of all the chaos of that period of time. But there was a blast that killed 4,000 people in Beirut that took out a large chunk of the Beirut harbor. And at the time, it was officially ruled an accident. But in my research,
I remember that. The warehouse. Yeah.
Right. So if you remember, the reason this is where the book, this is where my title comes from, The Shadow War. There was a lot of shadow boxing throughout the Trump administration between the American-led coalition, Israel and the Saudis, versus the Iranians behind the scenes. Something happened where under that warehouse, there was an underground component, and we found tunnels, and I talk about this in the book.
Right.
There were tunnels underneath that warehouse facility. I think it was Danilo Cope, who's an Italian weapons expert, said that there was actually six smaller explosions that preceded the main explosion in Beirut. Now, that main explosion was the equivalent of a small dirty bomb.
Yep. I remember that.
I have relatives in Malta. It was felt by them in Malta, in Valletta. The shockwave was.
Yeah.
I think, and President Trump said this at the time, and of course he walked it back afterwards, because I think somebody sat him down and said, you cannot say this.
Don't talk about that, right?
Don't talk about it. But he said
that. Well, you can't. Like, the president can't talk about it. Yeah.
I can because you can. I'm just a guy.
Right, you're just some guy. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Right. I do work with the DOD, and I get in trouble when I say this stuff. But what it looked like was either a workplace accident, which was another thing that my friend Stephen Bryan, who's a military expert, that was his theory. But it could have also been part of that shadow war where Israel might have gotten heads up that they were storing things in there for this precision project.
Right.
And Israel might have decided to act. Now, what were they storing? I do not believe at the time people were saying it was a dirty bomb. I do not believe it was a dirty bomb.
Okay.
What they were storing there, I think, was something called a liquid called octogen or HMX. Octogen is used in an implosion style nuclear weapon, but it is also used more usually for fuel in long range precision guided missiles.
Sure. Okay.
And putting the pieces together in Lebanon, you know, we can see, I think, evidence that I'm sorry, I just got a text from my wife. I guess she's having the baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So I'm going
to. You're going to have to go. Father, we ask you to be with Brandon and his family, and we pray for a healthy child. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
My thought.
Yes.
I thought it was just a checkup she was going. Okay. I apologize.
No, you're good. Praise. Hey, yay. This is awesome. Well, look at that. Absolutely.
But anyway, though, it looked like the Beirut blast was part of a larger shadow boxing. And I think that whether it was a workplace accident or if it was, in fact, part of that covert operation, right. I think that Israel is under more threat today than it has ever been.
Ever.
And if Hezbollah opens up a second front, the Americans are going to have to get involved because otherwise Israel will be destroyed. They cannot survive a multi-front war on this level. This is not like the Arab armies of the last century that fought Israel. This is a very competent Chinese and Russian-backed Iran threat using these proxies, and the United States is at risk more than it has ever been. And we don't have a leader right now who's capable of responding, and that's the scary thing.
I wholeheartedly agree. And in one last closing thing, I'll just say this: individuals such as yourself and others who have these strategically important understandings, we need to be praying for your protection, because there are Iranian assassins here in the United States that are targeting people like yourself. I have
already been threatened.
Well, I can only imagine.
My wife went off social media and basically is, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm always paranoid.
Well,
I live in a red state where gun ownership is allowed, and I live
there
in a
secure well, park. And so know that there are people like myself that are praying for people like you and who understand the threat that you're living with. But you know what? I am so excited for you.
Thank you.
Because you are about, do you know boy or girl yet?
Yeah, this is our third girl.
Hey, awesome. Yeah, yeah. I got three girls myself. Yeah. I got three girls and two boys. You know what? So what would be the proper mazel tov? I don't know. What would be the
No, I'm a Christian like you.
Okay, so, all right.
Yes.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Well, Father God, I just ask you to be with Brandon, with his wife. I ask you to be with the doctors. I ask you to be around him, surround him, Father God. And I pray, Father God, a canopy of protection over the house of Weichert right now, over their property, their home, and each one of them individually in the name of Jesus Christ. Cover and protect them and place them under the shadow of your wing. And I thank you, Father God, for his boldness. And I just ask you, God, to continue to give him favor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That means a lot. We should definitely do this again.
Yes.
Maybe in a few weeks.
Sure.
Yes. I'll have AJ reach out and we can continue this talk. Thank you for having me, though.
Absolutely. What an honor to be with you when you get that news. I'm so excited. I'll let you go.
God bless.
God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And, you know, again, I cannot tell you how critically important it is for us to really understand what is happening right now around our world. And that piece that I played yesterday, that David Icke shared in 1996, and understanding who we are in Christ, and the authority that we have been presented with. We have been given, the word says this, let me find this scripture for you. All right. Bear with me a second, folks. There it is. All right, so let me put this up on the screen. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. Now watch this. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I read that particular piece so that we can own what it is that Peter is saying here and how he's writing this. That this is, yeah, this is a letter to us, to us who believe. Because he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's you and I. We've obtained that. If we have, and I was so thrilled to hear Brandon say, hey, I'm a Christian too. I'm very thrilled to say that. Whenever I meet someone, and I'm sure the last name Weichert strikes me as being Jewish in origin, but whenever I meet one of my Jewish friends, I'm always prayerful that they will recognize that Yeshua has come, that the Messiah has come, and it's very exciting for me, as I believe it was for Paul. Right, Paul said, you know, I would set aside everything if every one of my Jewish brothers and sisters would believe on the Messiah. And let's be clear, you know, everybody talks about, oh, the Jews rejected Jesus. Well, no, not actually, not in total, because there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands that accepted Jesus as the Messiah, both during his life and after his death. The church was started entirely by Jewish converts, or not even converts, but Jewish believers who received the message, the good news that Messiah had come. They weren't converts. You're not really a convert, because if you're Jewish, and this is part of the misconception, and I know this. I talked with my friend Avi, God rest his soul, that about this, and we talked in depth about the Jewish belief that if a Jew became a Christian, then somehow they were leaving Judaism. And you know, when your population as a whole is between 15 and 17 million, and that's it, losing someone is just it's monumental. Well, but you're not. It's not a loss. It's a gain. It's a fulfillment. It is a more filling and a more full Jewish experience to realize that Yeshua, HaMashiach, Messiah, has come, that the work has been done, and that now we await the complete restoration and the fulfillment of the second half of the call and mission of Messiah. And so with anticipation, we approach the Feast of Tabernacles. With anticipation, we approach this season knowing that there is a day coming when it will all be completed. It'll be all be fulfilled. But we can also rejoice in knowing that everything up to that has been done, has happened. It's really amazing. Anyway, so here we go. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's us. And then he gives us the greeting, grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is powerful. So, let's look up this particular word. And this is that great word, dunamis. Force, might, ability, efficacy, energy. So he has given us the ability to perform according as his divine ability to perform has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory. So let's look that one up. And that's doxa. And this is, I love, this is a really, really cool word, doxa. It's a lot of things. But it's an unspoken manifestation of God. It's honor. It is glory of a divine quality. So he has given us, remember, let me pull this up for you. I'm going to run out of time here. Maybe I just need to do a teaching on this at some point. Remember that when we go to the book of John, and I'm going to run over to the book of John, and we go to chapter 17, towards the end of chapter 17, he says, "And the glory which you gave me." Now watch this. Because I want us to recognize this. And the glory, there we go. And let's go look at that word. Oh, look at that. It's the same word. So the glory, that divine presence. Now how does that align? How does that align with our scriptures? Because scripture says that we now are the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells, in which the presence of God dwells. And the short version of that is actually found if you go to the book of Colossians and you look at Colossians, I believe it's chapter 2. Oh, it didn't. Okay, I got to do this. Boy, I'm running out of time. Verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you," this is the one I want you to hang on to today, "and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." When you get a hold of that, and you add in John 17, the glory, the doxa, which is talked about here, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And how do we obtain that knowledge? Boy, I don't have time. Well, I'm gonna stay on my social media. I gotta let TECN go because Texas Fully Loaded is coming. If you want to jump over to Cloud Hub, I'm gonna stay on this for just a minute and get this out because this is I think it's important stuff. I'm not even recording this. Look at that. All right. So let's see. According to his divine power given unto us to create a life in godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. We pray he has given exceeding and precious promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. Which is love. And I forgot the scripture of where I wanted to go with that. Let's see. We did Colossians. We did John 17 and the glory. And Lord help me. Now because I jumped off, I forgot where I was headed. It will come back to me. Listen, it is time for me to go. I'm going to let you go. I love you. Know this. You are the righteousness of Christ. And if you haven't received him, if you're in that place where you're saying, I'm struggling, Pastor, I want to get this right, but I haven't got there yet. Man, I just want you to know. Thank you, Lord. I know where I was going. So let's look at Romans chapter 10. Pretty sure it's Romans. Where is it? Hebrews 10. Dun, dun, dun. There we go. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 10. And so this is Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. Now, we tie that, because it is, again, this is called exegesis. And that is essentially where Scripture proves itself. So now we go over to 1 John chapter 5. And it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, let me bring this stuff up. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So everybody that, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loves him, Jesus, that begot also loves him that is begotten of him. Loves God, loves the Father. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So by keeping the commandments, by doing those things that we are now, by our new nature, inherently know are right to do, we prove our love for one another and we prove our love for God. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So those who love God will love his son, Jesus Christ. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now watch this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is beautiful. And his commandments are not grievous. Why? How many of us struggle with this idea of, well, how do I keep the commandments? How do I do? I don't know what to do. How do I handle all? Here we go. Here's your answer. Because the one that's telling you that you don't know is the devil. The one that's telling you that you can't get this and you can't understand it, and the one that's telling you that, oh, you know what, here's the problem, man, the Bible's just too confusing, and I doesn't make sense to me. The one who's telling you all that is Satan, and he's a liar. And we know he's a liar because of this. Because we know that God is true. And the word of God says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Well, what is he talking about? Let's go back up here. So, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So the law can't perfect you, and the sacrifices they were making could not perfect them. They were a shadow of the good things to come. Why? Why would we say, why would the writer say they were a shadow of the good things to come? Okay, we have to go back to the Old Testament and understand the history of the world at the time that God intervened and chose Jacob to make him Israel and the 12 tribes and raise up that people. The world was full of paganism and heathens and destruction and murder and all kinds of just horrible, horrible behavior towards one another, towards surrounding communities, sacrifices to idols, child sacrifice, all kinds of deviance and perversion taking place. And so God said, okay, I am going to intervene. And then I am going to lay down the law. I'm going to show them how they should live. And I'm going to raise up a people, and I'm going to put my stamp on those people, and I'm going to imprint upon those people, and they are the ones that I am choosing by which I will show the rest of the world how to live. And so we have the law as a shadow of the good things to come. Well, what are the good things to come? So the good things to come are when the entire world is following God's word. Jesus was asked, what are the greatest two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Two greatest commandments. And in this you will fulfill what? The law. But the struggle is, how do I do that? How do I actually do that? My nature, by my very nature, I war within myself and I fight this. So here we go. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wait a minute. We're what? We're what? Let's look at that again. So, by which will we are sanctified? We're sanctified. Well, that's what it says. Hagiazo, to make holy, to consecrate, to sanctify. I make holy, treat as holy, set apart as holy, sanctify, hallow, purify. Wait a minute. So what we're saying is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross sanctified us? That's what it sounds like it's saying to me. Now watch this. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He did what to us? It's teleihu. And it means, as a course of a race, I complete or finish. As a time of prediction, I accomplish. I make perfect. It's a consummation. It's reaching the end. Well, wait a minute. I thought, yes, there is so much more that we will experience when he returns and brings a new heaven and a new earth. And heaven isn't is way better than where we are right now. I tell you as a witness. But I also tell you this, that Jesus Christ said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. So within us, which we've just gone through in describing in 2 Peter, in John 17, in Colossians, talking about the glory, talking about the presence of God, talking about us being prepared as the temple in which he dwells. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, talking about how he has written, and here's where we are. Watch this. So, for by one offering, verse 14, here we go. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified. That's us. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. Now watch this. This is the covenant that I will make with them. Who's them? Who's the subject matter of all that is being written here in Hebrews chapter 10? Them is us. Them is us. Because them is those who have received Jesus Christ as the offering. So this is the covenant that he will make with us after those days, says the Lord. He's going to put his laws into our hearts and into our minds. He writes them. And how powerful and significant is that? because whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the sanctification. Everyone that loves him the begot loves him that's begotten. And here's the cool part. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Why? Because they are written in our heart, written in our mind. He puts them in us. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. How do we overcome the world? Because we have a new divine nature, and in that divine nature, and that was where I was going again, going back to 2 Peter, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's divinely changed us. And only as we get this in us and understand this and walk in this, this is the day, the time, and the hour when this truth and this understanding, this is the revival. This is the basis of the revival. Because this is how the power and the release of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God is continually present on the earth, is residing in us. And we have scriptural exegesis to support everything that I just shared with you. How cool is that? All right, I'm going to jump. Love y'all. I will be back tomorrow. I'll be here early tomorrow. Pray for me. Keep me in your prayers, if you would. I'll greatly appreciate that. We're doing some good stuff. I'm having them work on some things that are accident related that have never been worked on before, to try to get my nervous system in better shape, and very grateful for it. So keep me in your prayers. Love y'all. God bless you. I'm going to sign off.